I'm Kim Singletary.
And I'm Rich Collins.
And you're listening to Biz Talks,
a weekly conversation with local business leaders about topics affecting New Orleans and Southeast Louisiana.
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Biz Talks. I'm Kim Singletary, the editor of Biz New Orleans Magazine. And today I'm excited. We're going to talk about a kind of a mix between business and arts. We have a local accomplished real estate professional who is opening up a new chapter in his life. And he's using the skills that he's learned in real estate to help lift up marginalized voices. And so his name is Charles Erstadt. Welcome, Charles.
Hey, Kim. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you on. So, let's talk about, you're not from New Orleans originally, right? You're from New York.
That's correct. Born in Manhattan and raised in the New York area, and then went to school in New York City and at New York University. So I was there for a good part of my life until I moved to Miami, and now I'm here in New Orleans.
Okay, so what brought you to New Orleans? This was about 8 years ago?
It was about 8 years ago. My then partner, now husband, is David Bernard, who is a local television meteorologist who I think is probably pretty well known to a lot of your audience here in New Orleans. David was the chief meteorologist at a station in Miami. We met there, and long story, but basically he wanted to make a move for Miami, and there were sort of two choices. One was to go to a bigger market, which is typical in the television business, which would have been New York or California someplace, one of the, you know, Washington. And we talked about it. We were living together at that point. And the question was, well, where do we go next? And he said, you know, he was a WWL for 10 years, loves New Orleans, pretty much grew up in New Orleans. He was in the city from 1995 to 2005. And so he had from a work point of view, he had a great following. But also more importantly, he had tons of friends here, loves the city. And he said, what would you think about moving to New Orleans? And I thought for a little bit, but not too long. And I said, let's give it a go. So we came here, and it has been a absolutely wonderful 8 years. I love the city so much, I can't tell you. I came here originally in 1988 as a visitor, but you know, living in a city is very different than being a resident. So that's sort of how it happened.
Tell me a little bit about your background, because you come from an interesting family who's been really involved with real estate. And then that's, I'm guessing, how you kind of got into it.
Yeah, you know, real estate is one of those things where a lot of people don't set out to get into it. Many do, I guess. But in my case, it was my probably great grandparents who first started in the real estate business. They were in the Bronx, which at that point was farmland, the northernmost borough of the city of New York. And they bought some land and started, just really grew with the city as the city grew. So that would be the farthest back in the real estate business that I go. But my father was fairly active, or was very active in the state government up in New York, and also had done a lot in the real estate business. Was last gig that he did was a real estate investment trust, which was known as Erstadt Biddle Properties. And we had about 88 properties in the New York area. So anyway, long story, I eventually became chairman of that company, and we sold that company last fall. So that freed up some time for me, and came at the right time to dive into the theater business.
Oh, wow. Okay. So since you came here, you're a big art fan of the arts. I think it's safe.
Yes, I have. There's no question about that. That's been something that I've been really, truly in love with and been a part of my life ever since I was a kid, really, because my mother would take me to the theater down in New York. It was a wonderful opportunity, you know, and a great experience as a kid. And so ever since then, it's been something that I've really loved, but not just theater, artworks on walls and artworks on paper. And, you know, I'm really that's always been a part of my life.
So how does, okay, and I have to say that you're also the president of the Preservation Resource Center of New Orleans right now.
It's true. Yes, I've been on the board of the PRC for the last 6 years, and I've been the president for the last year. As you can imagine, there's preservation of property and buildings is a very complementary activity, I would say, for people who are in the real estate business. I've always said that being in the real estate business does not necessarily have to be at odds with being a preservationist. I got originally interested in preserving old buildings when we owned a commercial building in a suburban city or town in New York. And I thought, God, this is just such a wonderful building, but it needs to be brought up to speed and it could really shine. So I took an interest in the history of that property and realized that I could make an old building and the characteristics of an old building an asset and a part of the appeal of the building to tenants. And that interest in preservation led me to be appointed to the New York State Board for Historic Preservation. And then when I was in Miami, I was the chairman of the Miami Design Preservation League, which is another preservation organization. So here I am in New Orleans. And I mean, look at all the wonderful historic properties in the New Orleans area. It's just astounding. And the wonderful reverence, I think, that people of New Orleans have for historic properties and our incredible history. So it's been a great joy for me to be a part of the PRC, and it's a wonderful group. It's just done some really amazing things.
And you're also a chairman emeritus and a trustee of the Ogden Museum of Southern Art.
Mm-hmm. Well, that came about as soon as I landed in New Orleans. Two friends of mine who I've known for a long time said to me, you should be on the board of the Ogden Museum. And I'd never been involved with a museum like that before, but I got into it. And before you know it, I became the chair of the board of trustees. And I did that for 4 years. And so that's been a really joyful experience learning about art and artists in the New Orleans and Southern region of the United States, as well as learning how museums work and how that all kind of comes together. I'll never walk into a museum again without looking at it with a very clear eye about all the hard work that goes into making that happen. But the Ogden's an incredible institution, a great part of New Orleans, arts scene. And I have nothing but admiration for all the hard work they do there.
So I have to ask, because you have such a background in New York, and that New York is a very, very different city from New Orleans. I don't know if they can be more different in a lot of ways.
I might argue with you on that.
Really? It feels like it to me when I travel there. I always feel like it seems so, because we have friends that came from New York and they said the same thing. They're like, oh, there's a lot of similarities. And I'm like, I don't see it. But,
well, I can tell you there are a number of very important ways that they're similar. Number one, their history is very similar. The preservationist in me knows a lot about this stuff, but obviously they're both and important port cities, and they have an incredible history from that point of view. And they grew up and they became what they are because of their port. The role of immigrants that created that, these two wonderful cities, I think is also very important. Going back going way back, obviously you can go back to the French here in New Orleans and Spanish and up in New York, it was more the Dutch and the English. But then, when they were both American cities, there were influxes of immigrants from Ireland and from Italy that really made huge differences in the history of the cities. And now I think from the present, my experience, having lived both in both cities and know them quite well, I think by now, is that there's a great commitment to both New York and to New Orleans by the residents in those cities. They're not perfect cities. We know that. And we know there's always a lot of hard work that needs to be done to make them work. It's not easy. New York obviously is way larger than New Orleans, but it still faces many of the same problems, just on a much larger scale. But I think that the dedication of the residents and their enthusiasm for their city is really what strikes me as being the most similar in both places.
So how does the art scene differ? I mean, because it seems like it would be very different.
Well, Well, there is a big difference. New York is again, there's a size difference. There's no question about that. I think that the New York art world is, and the same obviously goes for the theater world, which is now something I'm very involved with. The New York, those two worlds in New York, there's a lot of money involved. There's the stakes are very, very high, and there's an enormous amount of competition. So, you know, it's hard to compare those two, or the two cities that way. But I do think there's a wonderful amount of creativity here in New Orleans that really comes through. And I think because of the diversity of both cities and their interesting backgrounds, that has, really spurred on a lot of artistic work that has been very special. And so those would be the similarities in my book.
So you guys, well, now we're coming to the main event here. So you guys, you started with another New Orleans resident, Dale Mott, who is a multiple Tony Award-winning producer. You started a company called Edgewood Entertainment, and it's mm-hmm. a live theater production company. And this was this fall of last year?
Well, we officially announced it in the fall, but we had been working in together since last spring. So it's almost been a year. Awesome. It's an interesting how we got together actually involves New Orleans and the Ogden Museum. I was the chair of the Ogden, and Dale was a new board member a couple of years ago now. And he approached me at a Mardi Gras party and said, I really need some advice. Now, when somebody comes to you and asks you for advice, you just have to be wary or ready for maybe something else is coming. And Dale is a very smart, very clever, but charming guy. And he said to me, here's my problem. I'm working at a business now. I'm doing this as a one-man show, basically. And I could use some help. I mean, and that was, that led to me thinking, aha, maybe this is something I could be helpful with. So the next thing you know, we were partners, business partners. And I must say, it's been a really fascinating experience. The theater business is, again, another business that I've known from a distance or as a dedicated theater goer, but never actually rolled my sleeves up and gotten into the nitty gritty of the theater business. And it's fascinating. And Dale has been a fantastic mentor and business partner.
So this is a live theater production company, mm-hmm. but you guys are based out of New York, right?
Well, no, we split our time between New York and here in New Orleans. I am one of probably the best customers of our new airport. I'm flying up and down the East Coast all the time. I think here we are in April. I've done it at least 3 round trips, probably maybe more. I've got one more coming up. So there's a lot of back and forth. I mean, obviously the theater business is based up in New York, but I live here and I love New Orleans. And so I'm going to make that work one way or the other.
Well, and so the theater production company is devoted to producing works by authors from marginalized communities. So can you talk a little bit about that, about what your kind of goal is, and then what Edgewood looks like?
Well, I mean, we are producers. We're commercial producers. So we're looking for theater works that are commercially viable, that will have a future in a way that will make money, that will draw audiences. So we look at every work that we're presented with and think of that in that lens. That's what we do. But that said, we both strongly feel that there are a lot of creators, playwrights, actors and actresses, directors, people who have not had the opportunity to get their works out there in a meaningful way that will be commercially viable. So there are a couple of examples of that. We're working now on it. We've got a show called Gun and Powder, which is at the Paper Mill Playhouse in Millburn, New Jersey right now, which is a regional theater that is very well respected. And that show, Gun and Powder, opened on April 4th and runs through May 5th. And so it was written by two young creators, Angelica Chere and Ross Baum, two young people who have been not really given the chance, I thing to come forward with what is an amazing story. This Gun and Powder is a, she called Angelica's family has an incredible legend of these two women who were sisters and kind of wound up being kind of the Bonnie and Clyde, or the two Bonnies of the Wild West. And how their story develops is fascinating. I don't want to give too much of it away. But it's based on a true story of Angelica's relatives. And so she wrote this wonderful story. She got together with a young man named Ross Baum, and they wrote the music for this musical. And it is now up there at the Paper Mill Playhouse with the hopes, we'll see how it goes, but with the hopes of it going to Broadway at some point.
So that's been running since April 4th, runs till May 5th, right?
That's correct, yes.
And then you have another one coming.
We have a couple. The next one that's going to a regional theater is called Long Way Down, which is will be at the Olney Theater Center in Olney, Maryland, which is outside of Washington. That'll run from May 22nd to June 23rd. And that's the sort of a musical, again, about the struggles of a young man who's dealing with the aftermath of the death of his brother by gun violence. And it is a touching, emotional, and also humorous story. The music is a really great combination of hip hop, rap, and rhythm and blues. And it's based on a story by a really wonderful novelist, Jason Reynolds, who's won way too many awards for me to try and figure out what to name right now, but very noted and a really fascinating story. And then the show that's on Broadway right now is Appropriate, which is starring Sarah Paulson. That opened at the Belasco Theater and runs until June 23rd. And that's just a wonderful, gripping tale of a family in Arkansas, or that is dealing with their father's home in Arkansas, and how they're going to deal with the remains of his estate. It's a gripping story with a lot of laughs. I'm sure that the outstanding acting by Sarah Paulson and the rest of the cast will be recognized in many ways. So, if you're heading to New York, I hope you buy a ticket for that because it's fantastic.
Well, and Sarah Paulson is a big star, but I was looking at some past ones that you guys have done too. You've done Samuel L. Jackson has been in one of your pieces, the Piano Lesson.
Right, that's right. And we've had a lot of success with a number of different shows that I think people, the Thoughts of a Colored Man is one. And
yeah.
And then, as you said, I've got to think about all the different plays that we've been involved with.
I've got some of them in front of me. So Daniel Radcliffe, former Harry Potter.
just to drop some names, but that was called Lifespan of a Fact.
Yeah.
A Strange Loop was a wonderful show that featured a number of people that I think I'm trying to think of the Billy Porter was involved with that. And then New York, New York, which is a wonderful musical that sadly didn't last as long as it should have. But those are just some of them.
So how is this? So I have to ask, so the jump between, you were in real estate for so long and from a real estate family. And I don't think we mentioned, but your dad was a commissioner of housing for New York State. So just big real estate background. But how does it compare being now a arts producer, a live theater?
Well, I'll tell you how to, I mean, I thought about that a little bit. It's funny because we deal with intellectual property, IP, in the theater business, and you deal with real property in the real estate business. So there, that even the terminology is similar in the sense that you're dealing with properties, you're dealing with the rights to properties, you're dealing with a lot of the similar concepts of from a legal point of view, but also from a business point of view, the work of building a building involves basically bringing together experts in different fields who are going to contribute and put their effort into this particular property, and being a real estate developer or an investor requires bringing in different disciplines from different parts of the legal and architecture and engineering and so one, and marketing. And the same goes for a Broadway production. You're bringing in the artistic talent, which is a little bit different than some of what certainly the real estate business would be about. But you are bringing in these different disciplines. You've got the director, you've got all the talent that has to be involved. You have to think about marketing. Mm-hmm. You have to think about the physical production. You've got to put it in some real estate, which is a theater. So, you know, you're kind of, as a producer, you're the CEO of a production. You're the one who has to you know, be making all, you know, keeping all these balls in the air at the same time. And it's a very similar process. So there's a lot of what I've done in real estate business has come into play, you know, very, very well in my new role as a producer.
So, I mean, you live here and so does Mr. Mott, but New Orleans, like you said, we have this huge history here. We have a strong art scene. Are there any chances that you would be looking at pieces that are from New Orleans area or from artists here?
Yes, you bet. I mean, I've now that, you know, the word is out that I'm here and that I'm doing what I'm doing, I have been approached by a number of people who are either playwrights or have involvement in some local production or a production that's been here. There's one in particular that I can't actually talk about because we haven't finished it yet, but local talent is definitely of interest. And I would love to do that because I, you know, New Orleans is a passion in my mind. And I think it's true of people around the country. I mean, I do look at things from a commercial point of view, and I know that people in New York, for instance, and certainly around the country, have a special interest in New Orleans and a fondness for it. And so if there is an angle, if you will, a New Orleans angle that we can use in some way, and I'm not saying that in a bad way, but, you know, I think it's for the good of the city and the good of the artistic community here. I am more than happy to take advantage of that and help the local talent here grow. And I've had a particular fondness for Le Petit Theater, which has been a great resource for New Orleans. And there are others, that other groups that have done some great work, and certainly some wonderful talent has come out of NOCA, where I actually was last night. And so, you know, we have a lot to offer, and I'm more than happy to help.
Well, it's a fun connection, and the fact that both of you are from here, or not from, but...
Dale is originally from Lake Charles, so it's
close
enough.
Oh, cool. So more of a local, but I agree with the commercial aspect. I'm not from here originally either, and there is a fascination here. I mean, Disney's gotten involved, right? And they're
exactly. I mean, you know, I know that after the very sad events of Katrina, the Preservation Resource Center made a point of having a fundraiser up in New York, and it was an overwhelming success. I mean, you know, there was just a because again, there's this great fondness for New Orleans around the country, and I'm quite proud of that.
And I think I will admit that there are some similar because I could say New York has some very colorful characters, and New Orleans does too. So
no question about that. And who would want to be in a city without colorful characters?
I have been. It's not the same. But no, so I really appreciate it. So people basically, for those that are looking at taking some trips, summer is a popular time to get out of here and go and do some trips. So if you're heading to the East Coast, something you might want to look up and see some of these productions. And this is, so it's edgewoodentertainment.com, right?
That's our website is edgewoodedge.com.
Okay. Yeah. And then
Edgewood guys... Entertainment was taken. So that's how it goes. Don't look at that. That's a fine website, I'm sure.
Don't look at that. Skip it. And then I'm assuming you guys are like on social medias and all that.
Oh yeah. You can always, you can find me at Charles D. Urstadt. The last name is spelled Urstadt. On Instagram and Facebook and where else? LinkedIn. Can't keep it all straight.
And then, of course, you guys are doing all these productions on the East Coast, but is there a chance that we might be able to see some of your stuff eventually down here?
Well, let's hope so. You know what I what happens typically with Broadway shows is that they have their run at a regional theater, like I described. They go to Broadway, knock on wood, that'll happen to some or all of them. And then they'll go on the road. And so we hope that at some point we'll be able to have one or all of our productions coming down here, maybe to the Sanger or one of the other theaters that might run a show like that. And if they do, we'll let you know.
Awesome. So what are your thoughts on our live theater scene down here? Because I know it's obviously way smaller than than what you kind of grew up around, but is
Well,
it
I mean, there are different levels of the live theater. You'll have the Orpheum or the Sanger, where you have shows that are national tours of established name shows, and they're wonderful. I mean, the Sanger, and they're both fantastic. They're both fantastic shows. Sorry, let me start again. They're both fantastic theaters that have incredible architecture, by the way. Preservationists love that, but they have a great active program with some really well done works with these great touring companies. I think from that point of view, I think having those types of theaters is wonderful. What I'm particularly interested in is new works or works that have new talent or that haven't been exposed, as I said earlier. And I think you'll find that in some of the local venues. Le Petit Theater does that, and I think I my hat's off to them. They've worked very hard to keep that theater going. A couple of the local theaters have not made it, especially after COVID, which is
Right.
sad and difficult to watch. But I think I urge the world that's listening to really make to, sorry, I'm getting some text messages, and I hope you're not hearing that.
Nope, not at
Okay. I urge the world to, our listening group, our audience, to really support the local theater and to make sure that they make a little effort to put that on their schedule, because these theaters survive on ticket sales for the most part, some also from donations, and what's the point of putting on a show if nobody shows up? So it's definitely worthwhile, and I think the other side of this is to encourage an appreciation of theater or participation in it at the school level. I mentioned NOCA earlier, which is a fantastic resource. But also, I can't say enough about local theater in high schools or in elementary schools is just such an important thing to support. And all parents should just, urge that to be a part of the curriculum, or at least part of the school life, and get your kids involved, because that's the future of the theater and the future, I think, of a strong and healthy society.
Yeah. And unfortunately, those are some of the things that get cut the first
Yeah.
round. Yeah. Sad.
Unfortunately.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks so much. And you're heading back up the coast again soon?
I'm going next week, so that's if you see me in the airport, wave to me.
What are your thoughts on our airport?
I love our airport. I cannot tell you enough good things about our airport. It's been, I mean, I it makes my life, given I'm a business traveler, it makes it a whole lot easier. And I think that, it's important for our tourism, obviously, but I think from the business traveler point of view, that's crucial, that you have an airport that works, and it works well, and it looks great, and offers a lot to the travelers. So from a business point of view, not business, just business travelers coming and going, but think about the convention people and all that. We have done an amazing thing by creating that new airport, and I could not be happier.
First impressions, very important of a
You bet.
city.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again, and happy Jazz Fest time coming up here.
Well, let's hope so. I think it looks like, I don't know, I haven't heard the latest weather forecast, but I guess it's a little too early for that. But I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And again, it's edgewoodedge.com.
That's correct. Thank you for that. Love the plug.
that have happened and that are going to be happening. And just, I just guess continue to let us know what's going on. And we're excited to see some productions hopefully coming our way.
Well, I hope so too. And I think, I really thank you for your time here. And it's been a pleasure. We'll keep you posted.
Awesome. Thanks so much. And thanks everybody for listening.
Thanks for listening. Biz Talks is brought to you by Biz New Orleans Magazine. Follow us on social media @BizNewOrleans and visit bizneworleans.com for daily news and stories.